Welcome to the Hockey Writers Fantasy Forecheck, where we talk to you about all things fantasy, keeper league, redraft, and dynasty. We're going to give you hot players to pick up, prospects on the rise, sleepers you should or shouldn't think of acquiring, and prospects who are looking to break out at the NHL level. I'm your host, Caleb Kearney.
And I am Jacob Strozek.
And today we are going through our Calder Trophy predictions and projections. We will talk about the Calder Trophy nominees for this year, who we think will win, who we want to win, who is the best fantasy asset this year, as well as give a few way too early predictions for next year's award. So, kicking things off, Jacob, I'll let you. So, I guess before we kind of go in depth about the players, just give a little quick blurb about the players who were nominated for this award, in case you live under a rock and you have no idea. Owen Power, defenseman for the Buffalo Sabres, Matty Beniers, center for the Seattle Kraken, and Stuart Skinner, goaltender for the Edmonton Oilers, were all nominated for the Calder, all deserving in their own right. And so we're going to look at their stats, look at, you know, how they played this year, and kind of give our takes on who we think should win and all that kind of jazz. So, Jacob, why don't you get us started on Owen Power, seeing as how it's your team?
Sure. And just first off, anybody who doesn't quite know, Calder Trophy is the NHL trophy for best rookie during the regular season. So we'll just start with that. But as far as Owen Power is concerned, it's not shocking to me that he ended up as one of the Calder candidates. He had a very, very successful year, and it was honestly pretty quiet at the same time. It was sneaky, but it was consistent throughout the whole year. He had good enough offensive numbers. He finished with a total of 35 points. The goal scoring wasn't ridiculously high. He scored most of those within the same span of time. It was a total of 4 goals, but that's not what made his rookie season incredible. It was his defensive awareness, it was his positioning, and it was his ability to take on pressure situations. He played on average about 24, almost 25 minutes a night, and was one of those go-to defensemen for the Sabres. So seeing him as a Calder candidate wasn't shocking at all. It was a bit shocking when I saw earlier in the year that he might not be considered, considering how well he was doing. But I'm glad to see that the NHL got it right, and he's one of the finalists.
100%. He did very excellent this year. And I think towards the end of the year, he played a lot of time with Rasmus Dahlin. And in total over the season, he played 250 minutes with Dahlin. Is it Dahlin or Dahlin?
It is Dahlin.
Dahlin, okay. Dahlin, okay, cool.
The Swedes.
The Swedes, yes. And he played 712 minutes with Henry Jokiharu. Okay, and, 79 games played. 35 points, like Jacob had mentioned, but 8 power play points, which is fine, given that he only spent 2 minutes on average on the power play, and 23 minutes and 48 seconds of average time on ice per game as a rookie. That is kind of crazy. Most rookies get eased into it. Most rookies play in the third pair, and, they're kind of in and out and in and out. And then you get all the hubbub about, like, should they be in the NHL or the AHL? Should they go back to junior? All these sort of discussions. So for him to just jump in at 24 minutes a game is crazy. Okay. He also spent some time on penalty kill, just over a minute of penalty kill time every game, 130 shots, 27 hits, 85 blocks. So, like, some pretty decent category coverage for those leagues that you're in, and 3.1 shooting percentage, which, I mean, he's a defenseman. He's not going to have a crazy He's not going to have a crazy shooting percentage. Like, six is probably really good for a defenseman. So Power just played fantastic. And like Jacob said, just sort of under the radar. There wasn't really a lot of talk about Power during the year, I found. That's just kind of sums up his season in a nutshell. And moving on to the next guy on the list, Matty Beniers. This guy seemed like the runaway favorite the entire year. With 80 games played, he had 24 goals, 33 assists for 57 points, 10 power play points, which is good, but again, not amazing. 17 minutes and 6 seconds of average time on ice per game, 2 minutes and 20 seconds of power play time on ice per game, 148 shots, 79 hits, and 48 blocks. This guy, like, I definitely see Beniers as sort of like a Bo Horvat type of a fantasy asset, where he's going to get you the variety of hits and shots. He's not going to shoot the lights out, but he's going to get good block numbers, good hit numbers, to go along with around 2 shots a game, which he basically averaged just under 2 shots a game. 16.2% shooting percentage this year, 16.7% last year in his 10 games. And he spent 526 minutes this year on a line with Jordan Eberle and Jared McCann. And they were just fantastic. 41 goals for that line, only 21 goals against that line, 55% shots for percentage, and a 55% Corsi for percentage. So, you know, the play went the way of Seattle whenever that line was out there. And Beniers basically took over the number one center position. And, you know, he really had no challengers in Seattle this year for that title. So that's a pretty good reason to get nominated for a Calder, in my opinion.
Yeah, I really liked Beniers at the end of last year. And as I was watching him play, I was like, this kid's really going to get a shot next year. And I think he's going to be a Calder Trophy finalist, and I think he might actually win it, because he just has all the right assets. He has the right motor, he has the right mentality, and he has good finishing ability to top it off. He's like you say, he's kind of like Bo Horvat. He's that quintessential two-way forward that can chip in all aspects of the game. So being as young as he is, 57 points, that's incredible. That is a great rookie season, and that's something that he's going to build on. Especially considering what the Kraken were able to accomplish this year. They're only going to try and get better. They're only going to give him more ice time, more weapons, more versatility as he continues to grow and age and develop his game. So fantasy-wise, Beniers was good this year, and he's somebody that I even picked up one time in my other league. And he does all the right things to just produce consistently. And that's the type of player that I like fantasy-wise, is somebody who produces consistently. So going into the future, Beniers is somebody that you should definitely consider either holding on to, or at the very least pick up at a decent spot in your redraft leagues, because number one centers don't, you know, come around that often and aren't available that often. But somebody who's young and can step into that role is a huge, huge fantasy asset. So as far as his Calder value, I think he's one of the better ones in recent years as far as production goes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And like the one thing with Beniers, he kind of came out of the gate running here. Like in the first 42 games played, he had 17 goals and 36 points. Okay. 86 shots, seven of his 10 power play points came in the first half. That's something where he can get even better by just being more consistent over the year. You know, this being his first NHL season, it makes sense that he would taper off a little bit towards the end of the year. You know, he's not used to an 82 game season. You know, before this, he's, you know, he played all, you know, this American hockey, and, you know, 40 games here, 44 here, 37 here, 24 here. Like, he's just not used to the full kit and caboodle. As
yeah, the college season isn't as grueling as an NHL season.
Yeah, exactly. So now that he knows kind of what kind of shape he needs to be in, and he's got, you know, the rest of the summer to get trained up, you know, seeing as how the Kraken are no longer in the playoffs, I'd expect nothing less than an improvement next year. So
especially if he keeps playing with McCann, and McCann does what he did last this yeah. year.
Yeah, McCann and Eberle are definitely the right pair for him. And another pairing that seems to be great is the Edmonton Oilers and Stuart Skinner. Jacob, why don't you talk to us a little bit about Skinner here?
Yeah, Skinner was a great choice by them, because he wasn't really supposed to be the starter coming out of the gate. They got Jack Campbell. He was supposed to be the guy. And then he floundered hard. And Skinner came in, took the reins, and he just ran with it. He claimed that starting job, and he did a fantastic just overall job. 50 games played, you're not going to, you know, scoff at that. 29 wins, so almost 30 wins as a fantasy asset. That's incredible for a goaltender, especially someone who wasn't originally the starter. If you round that up to maybe the 55, almost 60 game play mark that he might get next year, if he's, you know, the declared starter, kind of like he was in the playoffs, then you're going to be looking at 32 to 35 wins maybe. So that's an incredible fantasy asset. So what he did in a rookie year is incredible, not just by rookie standards, but just very good by goalie standards these days. Scoring is up, so being at that goalie position is getting tougher, and those numbers are just rising as far as goals against, and the save percentages are dropping a little bit just because scoring is up. That's just how that works. But he still had really good average numbers throughout the year. So I like Skinner as a Calder pick, and going forward as a starting goaltender for fantasy. Being on Edmonton alone provides value, but just his skill adds to that value.
100%. And like, I think a similar thing happened with, like, what happened with Beniers with Skinner, in that once we got to the playoffs, the grind started to kind of wear out on him. And there was a couple times when he did bounce back, you know, whenever getting pulled in a game and replaced with Campbell. But maybe one of those breaks should have been extended by another game, by letting Campbell take the start for a game. And, you know, we'll never know what would have happened with Edmonton if they decided to do that with Skinner. But like he was saying, like, over the year, like, Skinner was pretty consistent over the first half of the year. You know, first 11 games, you know, he had a 919 save percentage, the next 15, a 910. The 10 after was sort of his weakest stretch of a 903. And then the last 14 games of the year, he went 12-1-1 with a 921 save percentage, 8 quality starts over those 14 games, and a 2.35 goals against average. The season as a whole, 29 wins, 29 quality starts. He had one shutout, a 914 save percentage, a 2.73 goals against average, 58 quality start percentage, and a 924 even strength save percentage. So those are all great numbers across the board. And, you know, he's only 24 years old, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, 24 years old.
2017 draft pick, so it should be about 24, yeah.
2017 draft pick, that's right. Third rounder. Gotta love those value goalie picks. So that consistent, that consistency and then heating up at the end of the year really kind of helped the Oilers solidify their playoff position, because right out of the gate, Campbell was terrible. In his first 12 games, he had a 4.04 against average, an 875 save percentage. And he slowly, like, his middle 20 games were kind of around the same sort of, like an 896 save percentage in the next 10, and 879 in the next 10. But then his last four games in the last quarter of the season, he had a 2.21 goals against average and a 930 save percentage. So we're going to take a quick break to listen to a message from The Hockey Writers.
Interested in writing for The Hockey Writers? If you have experience writing about hockey, are passionate about the sport, and are looking to take your writing to the next level, The Hockey Writers could be the place for you. Here at THW, you will have the opportunity to hone your craft at one of the world's largest and most respected hockey publishers. You will have control over what you write, be able to seek out media credentials, and be supported by a large network of writers and editors. Plus, you'll get paid for doing it. If you're interested and want to know more about team openings and requirements, please visit the Write for THW page on The Hockey Writers website. A link to that page is also listed in the description.
And we're back. In case you are watching the video for this, we had some technical difficulties on my end of things when we first started this episode, so we had to come back day later, do the rest of it. So we're gonna pick up where we left off. We're gonna talk about who we think should win the Calder and who do we want to win the Calder. So Jacob and I both came up with our own rankings for the three candidates. We're kind of all over the place. So let's just answer. Okay, so who do we want to win? Jacob, who do you want to win?
As much as I would love for Power to win, just as a Buffalo fan, I really love the way Beniers played throughout the year, and I really liked his game. So he would be my pick for who I would want to win, just because there's just something exciting about a young two-way forward, because you don't always see them come up into the game nearly as well. It's all about who's the big goal scorer, who's the big playmaker, who's the flashy guy throwing out dangles. It's never about the simplistic guy who, you know, just does all the right things on the ice constantly. And I really like the way Beniers played. So I think he's earned it, and that's who I would really want it.
Right. And for me, I mean, I want Skinner to win it. And I think to be able to play 50 games as a rookie in the NHL, to be like so consistent and even like turn up the jets at the end of the season, to really, you know, power the hot streak for your team going into the playoffs. I mean, it's pretty tough for me to go against that. Also, I'm an Edmonton fan, so maybe a little bit. It certainly helps. It certainly helps. But like, and just like thinking about his stats again, like 29 wins. So, and 58% quality start percentage, that as a rookie to me, like really stands out, where, you know, he had 29 quality starts in 50 games. So like he was one quality start away from like 60%, which is that for a goalie to be that comfortable. I mean, I know he played some games last year. I think it was only like 13. So that's too small of a sample size to really nail down how a player is going to be. But yeah, it's, for my money, it's tough to argue against Skinner in that fashion. But who do we think should win?
Well, I don't really find too many points against what you were making for Skinner, so I think he's a great candidate. But just to kind of harp again on my Beniers point, he's the one that I think will win it, just because, again, Seattle didn't really have that high of expectations going into this year. They were kind of basement dwellers last season, and people were like, oh, they'll get better, but they're not going to be, you know, that, you know, definite playoff team. And they surged. They became a real powerhouse, and Beniers was a big part of that. He played a top six role the entire season. So yeah, it's not like he was a small portion of what they accomplished. And I think that's noteworthy to bring into consideration when winning a trophy like the Calder's. How much impact did that player have on the overall team success?
Yeah, that's a big thing. And that also like brings me back to Skinner and how much I want Skinner to win. But there's a part of me that really believes that Power's going to win. I think Power's going to get it. Like just looking at his season, he consistently played 24 minutes a night through the whole season. Like part of the Frozen Pool Dauber Sports website, the website breaks down, pardon me, the season into quarters, and you can see their games played, their points, their shots, their power play points, their power play time on ice, and their time on ice split throughout the entire season, as well as their line combinations, all that sort of thing. And he was just so consistent as far as time on ice goes. His shooting was pretty consistent. First quarter, 29 shots. Next quarter, 33. Next quarter, 34. Next quarter, 34. The points weren't quite consistent. 10, then 5, then 8, then 12. And he scored all four of his goals in the third quarter of the season, which, I mean, is kind of funny. But just consistency. And he played 79 games. Yeah, I think that's who I think will win. So we'll see. We'll see which one of us is right. Is this the one? This is the one that they'll announce on like awards night, right?
Yeah. Calder is normally announced during the show that they do. I'm not sure if they still televise it. They used to. It's probably on some streaming thing now, but Calder is normally announced like live pretty much. I don't want to disagree with anything you said on Power. He was consistent all year. He's just, in my opinion, he was overshadowed by other players on Buffalo that his impact wasn't as recognizable.
That could be fair. The awards show, and like just for the record, the awards show is going to be June 26th. Which is a couple days before the draft. So perfect. Get it out of the way so that we can focus on draft stuff. And I mean, last year, a D-man won it, Mort Seider, right? He arguably had easier competition, Michael Bunting and Trevor Zegras. And then Kaprizov won it the year before, going up against Nedeljkovic and Robertson. And then Makar won it, going up against Quinn Hughes and Dominic Kubalik. That's hilarious. And then 2019, Elias Pettersson won it with Rasmus Dahlin and Jordan Binnington being the other nominees. So, I mean, it's kind of a mixed bag recently. There's no real trend. Other than last year, it was, you know, the stable D-man with 50 points that got it. So we'll see. We'll see. But I think that is going to wrap up that section of the show. We are going to, oh yes, let's quickly touch on which one of these Calder trophy nominees as the best fantasy asset, and then we will go into our projections and predictions for next year. Okay. Sounded like go ahead.
No, that's fine. I'll jump into it. So as far as best fantasy asset, number one for me has got to be Skinner. You can't go wrong with a goaltender, especially one that plays consistently and wins games with pretty good statistics. Uh-huh. Edmonton is not really going to slow down anytime soon. They're only going to get better. Since they added Ekholm on their blue line, he's only going to make that defense better, which is going to make Skinner's job easier. And fantasy-wise, the saves are going to be about the same. The goals against is going to go down. The wins might go up a little bit since he might get a little bit more playing time as, you know, a more established starter as opposed to being a 1A kind of this year. Mm-hmm. So I think Skinner is the best fantasy asset of the three.
Yeah, so much of this question hinges on what your league settings are and what positions your league values more as a result. So for my leagues, I look at my leagues. I have, it's my big league that I'm super into is category league. There's six categories. There's two goalie categories, wins and saves. And then there's goals, assists, hits, and shots are my other four categories. There's only six total. And there's a tie-breaking metric that we use if a score is 3-3, where basically each attribute, each goal, assist, shot, hit, win, save, is broken down into sort of a point value. And that point value weighs more heavily towards wins and more heavily towards goals and assists for defensemen. The shots and hits sort of equal out between forwards and defensemen, but the points definitely weighs more towards defenders. So goalies and defensemen are kind of above forwards in my leagues. So it would be kind of a toss-up between those two. For my league, I'd probably still go Skinner, just with the consistency there and the saves. The wins is a bonus, but the saves. Kind of looking into the future here, definitely paying attention to what is happening with the Oilers' goaltending going into next season is going to be huge, because if they come out of the gate and say it's going to be a 50-50 split between Campbell and Skinner, that could affect things. But I think after this season that Campbell just had, I think he's going to be super motivated to come back even sharper, even better. And he'll either get better or he'll get worse or he'll be the same. So no matter what, things will be good for Edmonton because they'll still get their wins. They'll still get their, at least the average goaltending from Skinner. And if Campbell can step up and give us good Campbell instead of bad Campbell, then he can really support Skinner more if Skinner kind of struggles next year. So that will definitely be something to keep an eye on. I would lean towards Skinner or Power, because there's a ton of forwards. And if Beniers was more of a goal scorer, he might go into that top. He would take that top spot for me. But because he's not, there's other players that you could acquire who are not rookies who can provide your fantasy lineup with the same thing. Mm-hmm. But because goaltending, there's only 64 really in the league. That kind of brings more importance to that position. So unless you have anything else to add to that, Jacob, I think we can hop into our projections for next year.
I just got a quick just hit on Power just because he's a bit of an anomaly for me, just because after seeing what he did, he's mostly a points-based defenseman. He doesn't really throw hits. He does get some block shots, and that the block shots number will definitely go up throughout the years. But the problem is with Dahlin in Buffalo, Power never really is going to get those number one minutes unless Dahlin is hurt or if he's out for an extended period of time for whatever other reason. He's always going to be that second pair, still playing like 24 to 25, you know, minutes just because he's utilized for everything. But
yeah,
his offensive ability is mostly towards his assists, not necessarily towards his goals. But I feel like his numbers might not be as high as they could be since Dahlin really is their number one, and he's not going to be that.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
that's the only thing that makes me a little weary.
Yeah, and that's the big conundrum with a lot of these. When you look at a lot of defensemen across the league with prospects coming up, I mean, for years we had the Barrier Bouchard discussion, and it's finally Bouchard. He really, you know, broke out in these playoffs here. And that feels like that's solidified. And now that Barry's out of the picture, it's tough to bet against Bouchard. But we're going to have a similar thing with Detroit next year, I think, with Edvinson and Sider. Mm-hmm. And had it with Dahlin and Power, where there's going to be the even strength producer and there's going to be the power play producer. So there's only one number one per team who gets the power play minutes as well. But there's always the good secondary option. And in the very least, Power can be a good secondary option
yes.
to take out a Buffalo because of the even strength minutes that he's getting. I mean, of his 24 minutes per game, basically on average, two of those were special teams. So he's playing like 22 minutes a night at even strength, which yep. is insane. So that alone, I think, for me, again, like going back to who will win, that's one of the reasons that I would cite for Power winning next year. So the projections for next year. Now, we mentioned the draft a couple times in this podcast, and there's a couple guys at the top who probably have something to say about this award and will probably be in the running for it. Jacob, why don't you talk about the first guy?
Yeah, I mean, as far as drafting, I didn't pick anybody from this upcoming draft, but from recent draft, one person I went with is Luke Hughes from New Jersey. And I think he's a prime candidate just because he was playing super well all year. He came up and played with the Devils and he put up some solid numbers. He had a great performance for his playoffs. And I think that will translate very well into the regular season next year. The Devils are definitely going to have some defensive turnover depending on if they keep Severson, Graves. So they'll have at least one spot that they will be vacating to make room for him to get that opportunity to be in the lineup full time. And I think he's going to take full advantage of it. He's a good two-way defender, but he has good offensive instincts. And I think he's going to mesh well with the style that the Devils play. And I think he's going to be a very underrated fantasy asset as far as the defensive end goes.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I think, yeah, definitely will be underrated. Seeing as how we're talking defense, I'll talk about the one big guy that I was thinking of. Columbus had a crappy year, but the one thing that was not crappy was David Yurecek's season. And he was just like a beast in the AHL this past year. He really had a prominent role in their AHL team. in 55 games. He had 6 goals, 32 assists for 38 points, 101 shots, and 24 of his 38 points were power play points. Okay. So next year, look out if Zach Werenski gets injured again, because let's be honest, this guy gets injured like every year. Okay. Like if you own him, you're already mentally preparing yourself. Just like if you have Ekblad, just like if you have who else always gets injured that plays defense.
Carlson, except for this year.
Yeah. Except for this year. Yeah. I mean, Ekblad and Werenski comes up. Jacob Chychrun.
Okay. Chychrun's another one.
These big names who get injured all the time. Okay.
Letang.
Okay. So those guys. So Werenski will probably get injured. Okay. Let's just accept that as fact. So when that happens, if you don't have Yiricek and he is available for some reason, you better be jumping on him. But before that point even comes, just pick him up. Just trade for him. Okay. Before he actually gets an extended look, pick this guy up, because I think he can really, he's very aggressive, very Brett Burnsy in that sort of respect. And he's got a bomb of a slap shot. So whatever the new coaching staff is, hopefully they will utilize that. And hopefully they will give more power play minutes to Yiricek. And depending on what acquisitions Columbus has over the offseason, give power play minutes to Yiricek and let Werenski take care of even strength. That would be ideal, but we'll see what actually happens. But if that does happen, my money's on Yiricek to have a Sider-esque season.
Yeah, I could definitely see him putting up some solid, you know, 40, maybe 45, even 50 point numbers if he's given the real opportunity to do it. I always liked his game. I think he's a very entertaining defenseman, for especially how young he is and how much he's matured up to this point. I think he'll be very fun to watch. I'm going to agree with you on that.
Look out for his brother, Adam. He's going to be in next year's draft, I think. Year? Yeah.
It might be next year.
It's either 2024 or 2025, but we can talk about that another time.
Another time. There's always more things that we can go into later on, but
yes.
I'm going to hop into the second choice that I have. I had to go with a goalie, because there's a handful of goalies going into next year that really have a shot at a Calder nomination. But in my opinion, the best chance at one would be Sabres goalie Devon Levi. It really isn't that often that a 21, 22-year-old goalie who just came out of college or whatever younger league can jump into the NHL and really make a case for being a full-time starter. The goaltending in Buffalo, the starting position is up for grabs. Yukko Pekkalukkonen didn't really seize it for himself this year. He was a very average to below average season. And when Levi came up, he was an absolute stud. He was the reason that they were able to make that run towards the end of the year. And he only had a handful of goals where you went, that wasn't that great. So a full season will definitely be taxing on him, but I think he's the kind of player that'll rise to that challenge. And I think he's going to be an incredible fantasy asset. If people, you know, kind of pass him by and aren't paying attention, he might be a bit of a sneaky goalie pick, because he's definitely going to be on the roster. Unless Buffalo makes some move for, you know, a free agent starting goaltender, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be one of the primary two there. And Buffalo is going to be good next year. They're not going to lose any of their offensive talent. The defense is only going to get better. So Levi is going to get a bunch of wins. And I think he's going to be a great Calder candidate and a really, really underrated fantasy asset too.
Absolutely. 100%. I'll touch on the guy from this year's draft. Okay. I'll do it. I'll take one for the team.
Might as well.
Connor Bedard. Okay.
Who?
Who? Who?
Never heard of him.
Connor Lazard? What? No. Connor Bedard. Okay. And I guess in the same breath, I'll say Adam Fantilli. Because it's like 99, I'll just say 99% chance, because the 1% will cover, you know, just the randomness that happens and exists in this world. But 99% chance that both of them play the entire year in the NHL next season. Bedard is going to be the best player on his team. Okay. It's either going to be Chicago or Anaheim. It's probably Chicago. I don't think they're going to go for Fantilli, but if they decide to, you know, surprise the entire hockey world and take Fantilli, Bedard's going to the Ducks, which is even better. And honestly, I'd prefer that. It's more exciting. He's immediately the best player on his team in Chicago, the best asset. Pay attention to who he's playing with. Pick them up on waivers, whatever, because the rest of his team is going to be trash. But for Calder, it's going to be hard to go against Bedard. He's probably getting at least 60 points. It's a very moderate guess on my part. But also, just want to bring up the fact that Connor McDavid didn't win the Calder because he was injured for half the year. And they went with, I think that was the year they went with Panarin. I cannot.
2015-16. So I think you're right.
2015-16. Yeah. So I think so. I think so.
That sounds right to me.
It does sound right. I am just trying to confirm on the fly. So that's, it's tragic that, you know, the best player in the world did not win it. So there's always the chance that Bedard or Fantilli won't win it, but really good chance they do. So that would definitely be the first choice for who could potentially get the Calder next year. So, and it's pretty much just because it's Bedard and it's Fantilli. If they both play the whole season, a storyline through all of next season will be who's better, you know, Fantilli or Bedard, and people can speculate and talk about it the whole time. So we will see who is right come June 26th about Skinner versus Bedard versus Power. But that is all the time that we have for today's show. In 2 weeks, we will dive into our Vezina Trophy predictions and projections. So tune in for that discussion. And then also a friendly reminder that our show is being released bi-weekly until the preseason. So you can follow the podcast on Twitter at THW Fantasy. I'm on Twitter at Caleb Scouting.
And I am also on Twitter at Stroh67.
And if you are watching on YouTube, be sure to like this video and subscribe to the Hockey Writers YouTube channel. If you are listening in podcast format, subscribe to the podcast and please leave us a review on whatever platform you listen to. You've been listening to the Hockey Writers Fantasy Forecheck. Keep your stick on the ice, get pucks in deep, and give it 110%, eh? I'll see you next time.